Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Now in this particular passage we're going to study the death of Christ, the death of Christ. Let's look at the passage and then we'll study the text. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, The Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So, there's your whole big line up there of the verses. I had to read that kind of quickly because there's a lot of information to deal with this afternoon. But we want to go ahead and talk about the things concerning the death of Christ that are here. Now, the death of Christ accomplished many things. And in this particular passage of Scripture, we see that the death of Christ accomplished 10 different things. First of all, it accomplished the conversion of the Gentiles. In verses 20 to 22, we find this. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. What's the deal there? Well, if you go through and you look at all the passages in the Bible concerning this phrase, the Greek, or Greeks came up, basically what you're going to find out is that this is a word that is used to designate Gentiles. And in this particular case, as they came up to worship at the feast, they would have been proselytes, like Exodus chapter 12, verse 48 showed, strangers that could partake of the feast if certain requirements were met. And you'll remember back in Mark chapter 7, verse 26, that there was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, who was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the lost sheep of the house of Israel would not include these Greeks. That would not include these Greeks because they were Gentiles. And Jesus Christ came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you know something? These Greeks said we would see Jesus. See, he didn't go up there to minister to them before. And apparently they knew something about Philip or whatever. He was up there from Galilee. These people might have been from the Tyre and Sidon area. That's where this woman was. She was a Syrophoenician. And said, we would see Jesus. Well, they saw him. If they hung around for the Passover, they saw him. They saw him lifted up, hanging on a cross. They saw the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the death of Christ accomplished for those Greeks? It accomplished the conversion of the Gentiles. It is by the death of Christ that you and I have been given the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. There the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There you go. Because it is in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We got in on heaven. We got in on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So those Jews who said we would see, those Greeks who said we would see Jesus, got him. They saw him on the cross, but it is by the cross that we have our salvation, praise God. But that's not all that was accomplished by the death of Christ. Something else was accomplished. The glorification of Jesus. The glorification of Jesus. Look here again in verse 23. Of John chapter 12, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be, what? Glorified. Glorified. You know, there are a couple of places where death is spoken of as a glory. In one place, it was spoken of Peter, by what death he should glorify God. Also, Paul was given the opportunity to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Lord. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus Christ said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified. Now, what was it that glorified the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it was not only his death, but it was his death and his resurrection. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, we find this, and this really nails it down easily for us. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of the grace that should come unto you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand, what? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the death of Jesus Christ accomplished the glorification of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was glorified in his death and, more importantly, in his resurrection. If he had not died, he would not have been glorified. You know, that's a strange way for a man to be glorified, you know. But we see in the next verse why it's so. And in the verse that follows that, why it's so. Verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It bringeth forth much fruit. So, the death of Christ accomplished, the conversion of the Gentiles wouldn't have been possible if Jesus hadn't died. The glorification of Jesus wouldn't have been possible if Jesus hadn't died. And the production of fruit wouldn't have been possible if Jesus hadn't died. You see, if you want to grow corn, or you want to grow wheat, or you want to grow tomatoes, or you want to grow broccoli, or you want to grow okra, or you want to grow something like that, you got to put a seed in the ground. And then that seed will come up, and it will produce. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 36. People were having some discussion regarding the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and whether it really happened. And in explaining this, Paul said, among other things, 1 Corinthians 15:36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." So you see this wheat, this corn of wheat, you stick it in the ground, and it comes up. And when it comes up a little green plant, and then a bigger green plant, and then it finally throws out a head, and then that head produces. See, that's kind of a strange thing, because it doesn't come up the way that it goes down. Jesus Christ came up in a body. He was ascended into heaven. And then he said, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman, you are the branches, and what is our job? To bear fruit on that vine." And we do, and when that fruit is produced, it goes into the body of Christ. That's a wild thing, but that would have never happened if it had not been for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It required the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have something else. Look at verse 25. The death of Christ also accomplished verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So the death of Christ also accomplished the availability of eternal life. Christ had to die for us to be saved. He said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." If Jesus Christ had loved his life in this earth, then he would not have died. If Jesus Christ had loved his life in this earth, then the Lord Jesus Christ would have... You know what he would have done? If Jesus Christ had loved his life in this earth, I'll tell you what he would have done. Jesus Christ would have gone ahead and accepted the role of being king of Israel. He would have worshipped the devil. And he would have gotten all the nations and ruled them as the devil had showed him. That's what he would have done. But Jesus Christ didn't love his life in this world. He was willing to allow himself to be crucified. He hated his life in this world that he might have life, which he does eternally. And he, through his death, gave us the availability of eternal life. So you see already four things. The death of Christ accomplished the conversion of the Gentiles, the glorification of Jesus, the production of fruit, and the availability of eternal life. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We would not have eternal life for ourselves if Christ had not died on the cross. "We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Eternal life. How'd you get it? You got it through Jesus Christ, through his death. Paul said, I've determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because it's through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have eternal life. But that's not all. Through the death of Jesus Christ, you have the hope of heaven. The hope of heaven. Look at verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Well, that's a great thing. "Where I am, there also shall my servant be. he told Peter and them, where I go, you cannot follow. But now he says, if you follow me, you'll be where I am. What is that? That's heaven. He told that thief on the cross, he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, Jesus Christ went down to Abraham's bosom in Luke chapter 16. It was a compartment in the earth for the saved people who didn't go to hell. And that's where paradise was, and that's where the thief on the cross went. And then Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, took all those souls that were in Abraham's bosom with him. And they went on up into heaven, and that's where the thief on the cross was. And that's where Peter went, and that's where Paul went, and that's where I'm going. And that's where you're going if you're saved. And that would not have been possible if it hadn't been for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told his disciples in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So he says, you're going to be with me. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The hope of heaven was made available to us through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the hope of heaven. But that's not all. The death of Jesus Christ also gave us the fulfillment of Christ's purpose. It accomplished the fulfillment of Christ's purpose. What did he come for in the first place? Look at verse 27. Jesus said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. In other words, the whole reason that I came here. I preached a sermon one time. It was called Born to Die. Born to Die. That's what he came here for. That's why Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So the death of Christ gave the fulfillment of Christ's purpose in the earth. In John chapter 3, he announced this to Nicodemus. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then later on he says in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the whole purpose for the Lord coming was to be lifted up. To be lifted up. You go back there in the Old Testament and you see that a lamb had to be killed in order for Adam and Eve to have skins to hide their nakedness. Abel had to sacrifice a lamb in order to have a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Genesis chapter 22, God told Abraham to kill his son Isaac, which was a picture of God the Father killing Jesus Christ. Of course, he never had to do that. There was a substitutionary ram there caught in the thicket by his horns. But Abraham made this prophecy and said, God shall provide himself a lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, we see that lamb is the Passover lamb. And then John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The whole reason he came was to die. Of course, his disciples didn't understand it. Peter got mad at him and rebuked him when he first announced that he was going to die. And God and Jesus Christ rebuked Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. The whole purpose for coming was to die. In Luke chapter 24, verse 26, after Jesus Christ had already resurrected from the dead, Luke 24, 26, Jesus Christ is already up. The men on the road to Emmaus were all upset. And Jesus looked at them and said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all these scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus Christ was definitely going to rise, but Jesus Christ definitely had to die. So he fulfilled his own purpose in his death. The death of Christ fulfilled his purpose. Let's do a little review and then we'll continue. The death of Christ accomplished these things. Number one, the conversion of the Gentiles. The Greeks said we would see Jesus. They did, and by that they could get saved. It accomplished the glorification of Jesus Christ. He would have never entered into his glory if he had not suffered and died first. It accomplished the production of fruit. There is no way that we could be saved. There's no way that there would be anything called a Christian. There'd be no thing as the new birth if there had not been the death of Christ. It accomplished the availability of eternal life. There's no eternal life for you and me apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It accomplished the hope of heaven. We could not be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven if Jesus Christ had not died first to get us there. and it accomplished the fulfillment of Christ's purpose. He came to die, and if he had not died, he would have never fulfilled what God sent him here to do in the first place. But those are not the only things that happened. There are four more things. The death of Christ accomplished the glory of the Father. Look at verse 28, 29, and 30. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. What? To announce that God was about to be glorified in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a hard thing for us to imagine. But in fact, Jesus Christ was glorified. Jesus Christ is glorified. God the Father, God the Father, God Almighty is glorified by the death of Jesus Christ. That's a strange thing, that he would be glorified by death. But you know what? It did glorify God because he's the one that gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God thought of that. God gave that gift. And in John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus Christ said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And God was glorified in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. The glorification of God the Father came in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. This is a good one. The glorification of the Lord, the death of Jesus Christ accomplished the defeat of the devil. Now, I understand he's still going. He hasn't been bruised under the feet of the church or under the feet of Jesus Christ. He hasn't been put in the bottomless pit yet, and he hadn't been cast in the lake of fire yet. Those were all things to come. But his defeat came at the cross of Calvary. Look at verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. The Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. The devil was defeated as a consequence of the death of Jesus Christ. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ died on that cross and triumphed over the devil and the principalities and powers of the heavens there. John chapter 16, verse 11, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is given is to reprove the world of judgment. John 16, 11, because the prince of this world is judged. If you read Isaiah chapter 50, you'll find out that during Jesus' trial and his persecution before his crucifixion, he invited the devil to come in there and to torment him right before the crucifixion. And the devil lost that battle. The devil tried hard to get Jesus Christ to come off that throne, that cross, but he never would, because he knew that in doing that he would defeat the devil, and so did he. All right, and then something else. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the drawing of all men. And this sort of answers one of the confusing verses of the Bible to some. John chapter 12, look at verses 32 and 33. If God be glorified in him. Wait a minute, I'm in John chapter 13. John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Signifying what death he should die. You know what? In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus Christ said, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the greatest way that God the Father drew all men was through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I will draw all men unto me. You know what? I believe worldwide this world knows about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe just in remote areas. This he said, what signifying what death he should die. And let me tell you something. I know that he did that for all men, and that there was not a limited atonement like the Calvinists preach, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says about Jesus Christ, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So he accomplished the drawing of all men. And finally, he accomplished the generation of the children of light. Look in verses 34 to 36. The people answered him, saying, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." He's the light of the world, you know. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. And you know something? We have the light today. While you have light, I got him today. "Believe in the light." I believed in the light today, and therefore I am a child of the light. He accomplished the generation of the children of light through his death. If the light of the world had not died and been lifted up on that cross and then gone up into glory, we ourselves could not be the children of light. But according to the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, we are the children of light because of what Christ did for us. "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." How do we get that? Because we have trusted the light of the world, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. So, in this passage today, we have seen that the death of Christ accomplished many things. These 10 things specifically: the conversion of the Gentiles, the glorification of Jesus, the production of fruit, the availability of eternal life, the hope of heaven, the fulfillment of Christ's purpose, the glory of the Father, the defeat of the devil, the drawing of all men, and the generation of the children of light. Let me tell you something. Somebody who would despise the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and ridicule that and not accept that misses all of these things, no matter what religion they follow. Isn't that a shame? I hope you don't miss that. You trust Jesus and you won't.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.